Good evening, councillors. Good evening, staff, and good evening to our residents in the gallery. Welcome to this council meeting number 5, held on the 14th of March 2017, the time being 5:30. I declare the meeting opened. First off is I need to advise all persons in attendance that it is council policy to record council meetings. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a period of 12 months. In accordance with council policy, I will now ask the Deputy General Manager to confirm that the audio recording has commenced.
Confirmed.
Thank you. The next item I would like to do is to acknowledge and pay respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continuing custodians on the land in which we meet today, and acknowledge elders past and present. In attendance is myself, Councillor Wass, Deputy Mayor Councillor Reet, Councillor Berry, Councillor Fox, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Percy, Councillor Bastone and Councillor Winter. From staff we have our Deputy General Manager, Mr Ferrier, our Executive Manager Organisational Development, Ms Hughes, our Manager Governance and Property Services, Mr Smee, our Manager Development Services, Mrs Tyler Moore, our Environmental Planner, Ms Dan Exter. We will, at about 6 o'clock, have our other Environmental Planner, Ms Gibbs, with us. We also have in attendance our Media and Communications Officer, Ms Wilcox, and we have our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. Apologies. We have leave of absence for Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Chadden and Councillor Grace. And Councillor Chatterton, as I indicated before, has been able to attend tonight's meeting. On page 2, confirmation of minutes of the council meeting number 4 held on the 27th of February 2017. I have a mover in Councillor Fox and a seconder in Councillor Bastone. I'll put that recommendation, moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Bastone, that the minutes of council meeting number 4, held on the 27th of February 2017, be confirmed. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Is carried unanimously. Workshops held since the council meeting on the 27th of February, there has been one on the 6th of March, which was Hugh and Aquaculture updating us on their fishing activities, and also from SGS Economics in relation to the Greater Hobart Feasibility Study. We'll move on to page 3. Questions on notice from the public? Have I missed something? Declarations of interest on page 2 I missed. Are there any declarations of interest, councillors? That's nil. Thank you. Page 3, questions on notice from the public. There's a question regarding Tas Water from Mr Burgess and a response there from Mr Ferrier. On page 4, a question relating to the lack of consultation with ratepayers over rate increases from Mr Reed and a response from Mr Ferrier. Questions without notice from the public. Are there any questions without notice from the public? Yes, Councillor Fox, could you help Mr Reed with that? Mr Reed has a question. Thank you, Mr Reed.
Yes, thank you, Mr Mayor. My question is without notice to you. I understand that there is a series of allowances paid to you as Mayor of the Municipality of Kingborough, so that the ratepayers are fully aware of these allowances and expenses that they are paying for. In regard to your role as the Mayor, please detail these in writing to the next set of minutes for the meeting we're attending tonight in regard and include the following: statutory allowances under the Local Government Act, motor vehicle costs including operating expenses being registration, insurances, servicing and fuel, communication and computer costs including phones, personal computers, consumables and the cost of calls, travel and accommodation including airfares and transfers plus hire cars, entertainment and other civic costs. Please also advise which person authorises these expenses on an itemised basis as they fall due. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr Reed. Just going to ask the Deputy General Manager to the next time the quarterly figures come out on councillors' payments. Mr Ferry, are you able to help me with that?
No, I'm not sure that I can, I'm sorry, but we can certainly provide the information that was... We can certainly provide the information that was raised in the question straight away.
Thank you, Mr. Ferrier. Further questions? There's none. Thank you. Questions on notice from councillors. Question from Councillor Atkinson regarding jet skis at Conyngham Beach and a response from Mr. Ferrier on page 4. On page 5, a question from Councillor Winter regarding 25A Osborne Esplanade, Kingston Beach, and a response also from Mr Ferrier. A question from Councillor Winter regarding assessment works at Blackmans Bay Blowhole, and a response from Mr Reeve. Another question from Councillor Winter regarding local government reform, and a response from Mr Ferrier on page 6. Questions without notice from councillors. Are there any questions? Councillor Fox. Okay, that's fine. We'll move on to... We'll move on to Councillor Reid.
I think the Deputy General Manager, and I thought you were just going to move on. Thank you. My question actually relates to a follow-up question in relation to the jet skis on Conyngham Beach, of which there was the question on notice. And I just wanted to clarify... One of the issues that seems to concern residents is the crowded nature of the beach during a lot of, particularly on hot days, and the young families that go there. Who is responsible for... The concerns seem to centre partly around the jet skis being taken down to the beach and leaving from the beach, and the fact that it's a small... you know, smallish beach, and you could have sort of 4 jet skis parked there where there are lots of children playing and so on. Whose responsibility is are the safety issues surrounding those jet skis leaving at that point? It seems to be a bit of a grey area. They're still technically on the beach. Is it marked?
Mr. Ferrier. Through the chair, the jet skis don't actually get onto the beach itself. They are taken from the Margate Marina. They're towed around in the water, and they're left in the water, and they're anchored. And the customers are taken across the beach and into the water and onto the jet skis. So the jet skis are never actually on the beach itself.
Okay.
So in terms of the crowded people, the only people that the jet skis would impede, I guess, would be swimmers, because they're actually out in the water. Mm. What happens is the owner of the jet skis takes the jet skis with the clients, and they move away at a very, very slow pace from where they're anchored, and they go out to about 150 to 200 metres from the beach. They have a short briefing there, and then they leave from there, and that's when they sort of rev the jet skis up, and then there is some noise, but it's about 200 metres from the beach itself.
So that then is the domain at last.
When
you're in the water.
The point of your question was all about who's in control of all of this, and because they're in the water, it is solely under the control of MAST.
Okay, so if there are any concerns that residents have once the operation...
Yeah, my understanding is that...
Then they should report them to MAST?
That's correct, and my understanding is that the owner of the jet skis has had a number of meetings with MAST and is acting in compliance with MAST's requirements and regulations. But I think it's fair to say that MAST is keeping an eye on how things are going, and I guess if anybody's concerned about it, they'll be getting the objections and the complaints. But my understanding again is that he's complying with all of the MAST requirements.
Okay, thank you.
We'll move on to the next item. Motions of which notice has been given. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no notices for motion received. Petitions still being actioned, there were no petitions still being actioned. And petitions received in the last period, at the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. The open session of council will adjourn, the time being 5:40, and the planning authority meeting commences, and I'll remind all councillors that we're now sitting as a planning authority. The first one is a report of officers, and there is a recommendation on page 9. Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Fox. Any questions or comments, councillors? Councillor Percy.
The extension of the berry farm on Lockridge Road, I know a lot of people are concerned about the state of Lockridge Road down there and the amount of traffic that's going up there on an unsealed road. Is that taken into consideration in any of the in these development applications?
What item number, councillor?
Sorry, DA 2016 271.
Got it. Thank you. Mrs. Tyler Moore, do you wish to answer that for me, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the traffic implications associated with this development and extension is considered. The application was referred to our development engineering team and no concerns were raised.
Thank you, Mrs. Tullamore. Answers your question, Councillor Percy. Thank you. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Fox, the report be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously.
We defer this next one until after six.
Councillors, if you would like, I am happy to leave the next report until Mary Gibbs gets here, because if you've got some questions, Mary will be the one to ask. Happy with that?
Mayor, under meeting procedures, do we not have to vote to defer, change the meeting procedure as per the agenda?
Yes, I think you're quite right, Councillor Chadden. You would like to move that?
More than happy to do so.
That this item be held over and we move on to the next item. No, seconded by Councillor Percy. Just wait till it gets on the board. Happy with that, Councillor Chadden? Councillors, I'll put the recommendation as on the screens in front of you. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item, according to me, would be on page 80. 48. I've gone too far, have I? My apologies. 48.
Move the motion, then.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden and Councillor Berry. Find out where the motion is and sorry 69, thank you. So moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Berry. Councillor Chadden, would you like to speak to?
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I've read the report with great interest. There's nothing there in my opinion that of any concerns. I'm pleased that that the Boulevard Road is to be constructed, because we can't do anything until that, or sorry, be approved to be constructed, because we can't do anything on the site until that road network goes through. Some of us were able to go over to a site meeting over there with a few Fridays ago, and it was explained to us by staff where it would be. I think, you know, it's been a long time coming. I know that we can't do anything yet on the land, because we, as I understand it, and I've proved to be corrected, but we still don't own the land as I understand it. We're all waiting for the state government to subdivide off a piece of land for the health centre or integrated health centre, whatever it's going to be. But that particular building will be built shortly by the government, and it's got to have a road network through to that. So this Boulevard will form an important part of getting that new health centre up and running, which is greatly needed by the municipality. So it goes cup in hand to what we've got before us tonight. I just fully endorse the report as is. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. I'm just looking if any other councillor wishes to speak, and whether Councillor Chadden's covered it all.
Well,
Councillor Berry.
I agree entirely with Councillor Chadden. I mean, this is a good example of spending money on infrastructure that is necessary to make some money. We can't begin to develop this site without a road in, so we actually have to spend money. And certainly it has my strong support. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Bastone.
I was just going to ask, in the clause 15.3.1 on page 57, it says contemporary street lighting will be provided. Will this be underground power with no wires?
Mr. Ferrier?
Through the chair, yes.
Thank you.
Underground power.
Councillors, on that basis, because there's been no one against or speaking against, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Berry, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received and that the development application for the construction of a new Boulevard Road, Link Road and Roundabout and Associated Services Infrastructure at Kingston Park, 42 Channel Highway, Part of 2 Channel Highway, Certificate of Title 157581, Folio 1, and 17 John Street, Kingston, for Gandhi and Roberts Proprietary Limited, consulting engineers, be approved subject to the following conditions. And you see from your agenda there are 5 conditions. I'll put that to the vote. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? Is carried unanimously. The next item on the agenda is on page 80. And that is a planning scheme amendment application for amendment to the Kingborough Interim Planning Scheme 2015 for partial rezoning from environmental living to low density residential area C, an amendment to clause 14.5.1 P1 of the ordinance to include a site specific minimum lot size affecting 367 Brightwater Road, Howden, for Mrs. C. Lindis. There is a recommendation on page 107. Thank you, Councillor Berry. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Councillor Berry.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. This I find quite a complicated report, necessarily complicated, and it is, of course, combined with a development application. And we have actually dealt with a similar process, I think, about 12 months ago. the logic of our position is we can actually refuse this proposed amendment, but it hasn't actually been released to the public. It has to go forward to the Planning Commission together with the development application before any public comment can be obtained. So although this is to some extent a procedural recommendation, we do have the opportunity to decline the amendment. I don't happen to think it is appropriate to do so. I think the proposed amendment seems to me to make sense with an area that is crying out for some sort of development. And I think it's been very thoroughly researched. Cycle past this property a number of times without actually realising it was there. It's actually hidden from bicycle, but it is an area that does require development, and I think this is a very sensible and appropriate way forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Percy.
Yeah, I'm certainly in favour of this as well. It's just my only concern is that the proposal seems to be made on the argument that it will result in a net conservation benefit. And I'm just concerned that as a council, have we got any control over ensuring that areas such as this do not get to this poor state in future? Because I wonder if this would have been passed, even considering this motion, if the land had been in better condition. So I'm just wondering if someone could just make a comment on that, if it's from the planning department. Thank you.
Mr. Ferrier?
Through the chair, as most councillors would be aware, that this property has been used for a commercial semi-industrial type purpose. So this particular development, I guess, provides an opportunity for the land to be cleaned up from that past use. And it's one of the arguments in favour of the development that it would actually provide for an improvement of the current condition of the balance of the land in particular. If Councillor Percy is interested more in some of the environmental gains which are achieved by this subdivision, I'm sure Ms. Dinexter can assist in more detail, but I'd just like to comment that it's really just a subdivision of land which is fronting an existing built road, and it provides that opportunity to upgrade the balance of the land which has been degraded from that past use. Would you like more details on the environmental?
No, I'm just concerned that we have environmental areas like this that do get so degraded. What controls are we as council? I know it's not part of this development, but yeah. What controls as councillors do we have on these areas to make sure they don't get degraded?
Well, through the chair, it's probably a compliance issue in relation to previous planning permits. This was a fish processing plant for many years. I guess it's that type of use and that type of occupation of the land will inevitably create problems. That is semi-industrial type use in a rural area. It's, as the time has gone on, it's become less suitable with the houses which have been built nearby, and this is a good opportunity to, like I say, clean up the land and develop it, which is inconsistent with those houses which are on the other side of the road. Why it got to this state is largely just a product of the past use. It's not as if the land is completely degraded or that bad, but it's bad enough to warrant a clean up.
That's it. Thank you. Councillor Fox?
I guess I've got two issues of concern. I do support this proposal and I don't think it's a win-win situation. And I know we're combining the rezoning with the next motion, and I guess I'm thinking of them together. This land has been traditionally in very poor sight because there's been a lot of saltwater runoff and fish waste going down the gully. I don't know how we're addressing the off-site contamination. We're talking about on-site contamination, but there is evidence of, and also anecdotal evidence of the nearby residents having regularly complained about the effluent coming off-site. And the other issue I'm concerned about, but it's kind of the second motion, relates to the fact that there's a bit of a disagreement within the report. It says that they had septic tanks and that they need to be remediated, but at the same time they say that they have been fully serviced with sewage and water, which is, I understand, not necessarily the case. I'd just like to have that explained, because it's basically an extension of the water and sewage that has gone to the infill area of Howden, and this seems to be an expansion of that service further up the hill. And I know that there are residents on nearby blocks who've been told categorically they will not get water and they will not get service, sewage. And by this rezoning, are we basically giving priority to somebody who would not otherwise be getting those services?
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Are you able to answer any of those questions, Mrs. Tyler Moore? Okay, I'll have Ms. Denix to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, through you, Mr. Chair. In response to the first issue, which I understand is the potential contamination, I've got a bit of a buzz going on over here, contamination going off site, is that correct, the first concern? Thank you. From the report that was undertaken by a qualified person around site contamination, my understanding is that they only found site contamination, residual contamination, in the area where there was fueling on the site, and so the impacts that arose from water being released from the site don't appear to have resulted in ongoing contamination on site, so then presumably off site they haven't either. Having said that, it did impact on the site, but because that has stopped now, it's not anticipated that there's any ongoing issue off site from those contaminants. The second question in relation to the services, I'm not as able to answer, but I'll do my best. So yes, my understanding is the services are being extended along the frontage of these properties. I'm not sure whether the water and the sewer exist already, but certainly the stormwater needs to be extended. And it would be the case that the rezoning would give access to those services that wouldn't necessarily be available to other properties that are not going through a rezoning and would stay as either an environmental living or a rural living zoning, where it's not usually the case that they would have access to those services in any case. There may be, yeah, it might be something, I don't know whether the engineering section could provide comment on before the matter comes back to council after it's been advertised. If that's the decision the councillors take, we could always come back with a more thorough answer on the services question.
Thank you, Mr. Nixon. That answers your questions, Councillor Fox. Thank you. Councillor Bastow.
I have a query on page 118 and 119. Under the acceptable solution, A3.
The which is the next agenda.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
We finish here on page 107.
Okay, yep. Sorry, I'll do it on the next.
No, that's okay. Time. Fine. Councillor Berry, would you like to close debate, please? You're closed. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Berry, seconded by Councillor Chadden. That in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority Committee resolves that the report of the Manager Development Service be received, and that 1. In accordance with Section 34(1)(a) of the former provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, Council initiates Draft Amendment PSA 2016/4. 2. In accordance with Section 35(1)(a) of the former provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, Council certifies Draft Amendment PSA 2016-4 as meeting the requirements of Section 32 of the Act. 3. In accordance with Section 35(4) of the former provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, Council forwards a copy of the sealed instrument of certification and the draft amendment to the Tasmanian Planning Commission. 4. In accordance with Section 56(s) of the Water and Sewer Industry Act 2008, Council refers Draft Amendment PSA 2016-4 to Tas Water. 5. In accordance with Section 38 of the former provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, Council publicly exhibits the Draft Amendment PSA 2016-4 for a period of 28 days. Councillors, those in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 110, and that is a development application for subdivision of 6 lots at 367 Brightwater Road, Howden, for Sealinders on behalf of Emma Riley and Associates, and there is a recommendation on page 135. Councillor Bastone, do you wish to move that, or is that...
No.
No?
Not yet.
Sorry. Thank you, Councillor Reek. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Reek, do you wish to speak?
Oh, just to point out, because there may be some concerns that it hasn't been publicly advertised, but that's because it was lodged with Section 43A of the Act, and if represent, it will come back and it will go to the public, and it will come back to the Planning Authority if there are any representations, so the public will certainly get to have their say.
Thank you, Councillor Reek. Councillor Percy.
On page 119 it says under acceptable solutions, it says the lots are all regular in shape and have the frontage is only marginally under the minimum required under the acceptable solution. And it's saying that the acceptable solution margin is 30 metres. One's 24 metres, which is 20% under. I just can't see where that could be classed as marginally, when it's 20% different, but I know it's going to be picked up in the next lot where it's over 6 metres. I think it's minimum frontage of 6 metres required under P3 and proposed frontages. Just a little bit confused as to what marginal means. It's a bit.
I'll ask Mrs. Tyler Moore to assist you. Mrs. Tyler Moore.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. There's no definition of what marginally is. Sorry. The frontage is still considered appropriate for the area, and with respect to the character of the area, the 24 metres does achieve it, and primarily does achieve the access requirement of the 6 metres. Perhaps an alternative word could have been used rather than marginally, but certainly it's not half or less than half, which is considered an acceptable solution.
Thank you. Councillor Bastain?
Mine was on the same thing. If in fact the lots were reduced by one, then they would have the required amount of frontage rather than trying to squeeze an extra one onto that thing, because, you know, 20% is not marginal.
Councillor Chadden?
I just might make a comment on what was just said. I mean, we approve a lot of lots with a lot less frontage than that because they're a battle axe block, at any rate. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the size lots. My question relates to the conditions, and I go to page 143 where it mentions the actual allocation of property addresses being 2468 and 10 Bonnevale Drive. I just want to know whether or not those numbers already exist on houses in there. In other words, are we going to force renumbering of existing places, or have the existing houses in there been numbered in anticipation that there might be further lots along that part of the road?
Mrs. Tyler Moore?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we do have trouble with lot numbering from time to time, which obviously you're aware of. If I could refer back to the previous item, because it has a map that shows the street numbers on page 83. The numbers haven't yet been used. In fact, the street numbers for Bonnevale start at 18. So the numbering does fit in there and renumbering not required.
Well, Mayor, that's pleasing, because it's quite correct. We have had, Stephen, recently we've had numbering problems again with people not liking their street name changed or numbers changed for various reasons. So obviously we were smart some time ago when we allowed for future house numberings, which is most pleasing.
Further debate, councillors? If not, I'll ask Councillor Reid to close debate. She's closed. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Berry, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received, and that the development application for the subdivision of six lots at 367 Brightwater Road, Howden, for C. Lindis on behalf of Emma Riley and Associates be approved, subject to the following conditions. And as you can see from your agenda, there are 27 conditions imposed. I'll ask councillors in favour to please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour are councillors Winter, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Reid and Wass. And opposing the motion, Councillor Bastain. Motion carried. We now have Ms. Gibbs in the meeting with us, and welcome, Mary. We will now go back to page 10, and there's a development application for sewer treatment plant upgrade at 112, that's certificate of title 157728 folio 2, and 116, which is certificate of title 157281 folio 1, Tinderbox Road, Blackmans Bay for Tas Water, and there is a recommendation on this on page 39. I have a mover in Councillor Berry, and I have a seconder in Councillor Percy. Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. Once again, this is a very detailed and complicated report we have in front of us. The facility that is being spoken about in the report is one that is sorely needed by our municipality, and it is, as is mentioned in the report, it is a little unfortunate that Brookfield was not available. Greenfield site would have been well nigh perfect, but anyway, it is now next door to the existing plant at Blackmans Bay. I was a long time resident in that area. I can understand the residents being concerned about issues such as odour. I think that with the previous treatment plant, until it was capped, it we had an odour committee of residents. I'm not sure I welcomed being a member of an odour committee, but anyway, they reported regularly to staff, and we lived a fair distance away, and we could occasionally still smell the treatment plant. I do think engineering has improved significantly since those days. I mean, we do have some sort of a, well, you can't call it a guarantee, but that the odour issues will be less. There are some environmental issues related to trees. I think they've been appropriately dealt with. But if we're to have any more expansion in this municipality, we actually need to expand our treatment plant. This is actually a crucial part of that process. So I recommend the report and the recommendation to my fellow councillors.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Chapman.
Whilst reluctantly I have to support this, I'm well aware of the odours to which Councillor Berry alludes, because they used to waft down to my place as well. And of course it was the digester, and opening the doors of the digester in those days was part of the problem. And I can tell you, your phone rings consistently from people saying, can you smell it at your house? I can smell it at mine. But one of the things that disappoints me with this scheme that they're putting in is that we're going to not only the positives being the closure of Margate, the lagoons, and the positive being the closure of Peggy's Beach treatment plants, and that's going to allow further development in the Margate and the Channel area, because the sewerage facility will be available to other things from further development in that area. But the thing that does disappoint me is the closure of the Howden plant, and it's the only plant in our municipality which is reused water. So we're lucky that we've got one small plant in our municipality that has reused water, but we're going to none. You look on the eastern shore, and in particularly Clarence, there are three golf clubs, a large nursery, and farms that get reused water. And there's most of the water from the Clarence facilities go to reuse, and we're going to be shoved the other way. And the reason that I believe it's going the way, it's too expensive to bring it back from Blackmans Bay because of the hills. And some time ago, some years ago, we discussed the extension of the pipe out into the river, and the pipe in the river was extended, well, I don't know whether it has been, but it was to be extended further out into the river, which at a great expense. These things all were marked by this council prior to the formation of Southern Water, then into Taswater. This project was on the board, on our board here at this council, right at the time when Southern Water was formed, and had Southern Water not been formed, I believe we would have been well underway of this project, and it's been delayed because of us losing control of water and sewerage. Another negative as far as this council is concerned from water and sewerage.
Thank you, Councillor Chapman. Councillor Fox?
I just wanted to point out that the documents in the councillor's room, which were about 6-inch pile, were made very interesting reading, and I picked out a few issues from them, one of them being that where the noise levels can't be achieved in some of this equipment, according to the Tasmanian standards, they're going to apply the Victorian standards, which are slightly more lenient, and I find that disappointing considering how much money is being spent on this treatment plant, and the noise possibilities of reducing noise surely wouldn't warrant them to be using Victorian standards specifically for our community. The document doesn't mention anything about when the other treatment plants will be closed and when they come online. This is solely for the Blackmans Bay upgrade, and obviously even now, today, I was walking along Blackmans Bay Beach and there's a no swimming sign on the southern end of Blackmans Bay Beach. There are constant spills, and I agree with Councillor Chatterton. I mean, the delays to this program and to this project have been phenomenal. We would have done it by now, I think maybe 6 or 10 years ago. We had the money sitting ready to go, but it's been delayed and delayed, and I think it's really important that this goes ahead. It's a much needed upgrade, but we need to get the best for our community. So they're my comments, and I think it's worth supporting the application, but I did ask the staff if there was any idea of when those other plants would come online, and I was told that that is not a known answer. So I don't know if there's been any update since then, but I'd be interested if there was.
Ms. Gibbs, no update since then?
No, we haven't received any further information from Taswater about that question the last week.
Thank you. And the Blackmans Bay Beach Southern End was closed because of a sample taken on the 7th of March, which did not comply in relation to stormwater, as I understand. Further questions or comments, councillors? Otherwise, I'll ask Councillor Berry to close the debate. Councillor Berry?
Well, just very briefly, I mean, the Councillor Chatterton and Councillor Fox are correct. This plant would have been built and completed a few years ago. The Acting General Manager might correct me, but I'm pretty sure that just before water and sewerage were taken over, we actually spent $2 billion on extending that pipe. I'm pretty sure we did that before it was handed over, just before. I think this is it's a very necessary, mandatory development for the municipality. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Berry, seconded by Councillor Percy, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Service be received, and that the development application for sewage treatment plant upgrade at 112, and that is Certificate of Title 157728 Folio 2, and at 116, Certificate of Title Reference 157728 Folio 1, at Tinderbox Road, Blackmans Bay, for Taswater, be approved subject to the following conditions. And as you can see from your agenda, there are 6 conditions. Councillors in favour, if you would please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And that item is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 151, and a development application for multi-dwelling and change of use from single dwelling to multiple dwelling at 1 Katana Parade Snug for Emma Riley and Associates. And there is a recommendation on page 160. Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Weeder, thank you. Councillor Chatterton.
Sorry, I just endorse the report as presented. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Councillor Percy?
Yeah, no, I support it as well. Just a couple of questions I may have on this, if I could. It says on page 153 under strategic planning, this proposal is considered to comply with statement 12.1.1.1, as is for residential use and development of a larger lot. And just what is a larger lot? To me, 862 square metres in my day wasn't a very large lot, but it seems to be nowadays. So is there some sort of quantifiable in that, please?
I'll ask Mrs. Tyler Moore if she can explain that for you. Mrs. Tyler Moore, when you're ready, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Again, there's no definition for larger lot in comparison to a lot of the new estates and the new areas and subdivisions we consider. It is larger. It is larger than many of those that have areas of 400, 500, 600 square metres. And in that immediate area, I would need to look at an aerial photograph or detail to tell me what the neighbouring sites are. I don't have that information on hand.
Thank you, Mrs. Tullamore. Further?
Yes, please.
Continue, Councillor Percy.
On page 154, it says the desired future character statement for snuggies, the rural and coastal character of a snug is to be maintained and should primarily contain single detached dwellings. Then underneath it says, the proposal is considered to comply with the above DFCS and accompanying strategy as a multi-unit housing proposed is limited to one additional dwelling. I'm just wondering whether that's very subjective, and does that then set a precedent for multi-unit housing, or will it limit further multi-unit housing, and therefore first in best dress? Because further on page 156, it says, while multiple dwelling development has not occurred on other sites with access from Kutana Parade, it has occurred elsewhere in Snug, and that's the Snug Retirement Village and Frost Street and Beach Road. And my concern is that those two have been allowed to happen because of the way that we're treating this one previously, that one additional dwelling will not make much of a difference. Therefore, it becomes a becomes part of the argument for the next time that, you know, now this place is also a multi-dwelling place, so therefore we can allow it other places. And I'm just wondering whether precedents are being set and how far does this argument go. I'm just a little bit concerned that one way we're using it is because there's not many around next week, but saying, well, there are some around that may have been introduced for the same reason and allowed to happen for the same reason. So I'd just like some sort of a comment on that, if I could, thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Ferrier?
Through the chair, I guess I was party to the preparation of those character statements, so I think I'm qualified to sort of say that the reason for it was that the character statements were included within the planning scheme to retain the character of the area, to retain Snug's character of single detached dwellings and on larger blocks, which you can see on the plan on page 162. The desired future character statement and the implementation strategy are there as guiding documents. They're not able to be used within the planning scheme necessarily to refuse an application on their own. They're there to be able to condition and to assist other discretionary aspects of the application, so they're not able to be used to refuse it necessarily. I guess in this report it's saying that the addition of one additional dwelling on that larger block is not necessarily in conflict with that character statement. It's everything that Councillor Percy has said is correct, and there's probably it's a moot point as to you know, when you get to a tipping point where too many of these units are developed, that it is actually contravening that statement. But the assessment in this particular case was that it's, much as Councillor Percy has said, it's not going to make that much of a difference to the settlement strategy within the town, and hence it's in accordance. The other point I'd quickly make is that with the introduction of the Tasmanian Planning Scheme, we will be preparing a new planning scheme, and it will change the zoning requirements and the development control requirements for this area. It certainly will lessen the power or the influence of the character statements in how these development applications are assessed. So I don't think allowing one unit in this particular instance will serve as any form of precedence on the basis that there will be a new scheme coming in which will have completely different rules.
Thank you, Mr. Ferrier. That answers your questions. Thank you. Councillor Fox?
I had exactly the same concerns as Councillor Percy. I won't be supporting this development application. It looks, when you look at the picture on page 162, this particular property's backyard and the development will be affecting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 neighbours, all of whom could now put a unit in their backyard, and the density of this area will rapidly increase, which is contrary to what we wish. We are not under the new planning scheme yet. We are able to apply the acronym DFCS, and I feel that this is a dangerous precedent for Snug. I don't think we'd be acting in the interests of the greater community of Snug, and the fact that there's an old people's development, let's call it, in the area, to me, is a separate commercial structure which has got well-designed architectural, fairly high-density living for those people. But this is just an isolated unit within a large group of large blocks, and it is not desirable, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Further discussion, councillors? If not, I'll ask Councillor Chatterton to close debate.
I suppose I've got a question first, Mayor, to the staff, because of what Councillor Fox has now said. And I know that staff have got to go and do their reports according to the planning scheme and recommend accordingly, but if we were to go along the lines to which Councillor Fox alluded, does staff think we'd have much chance of survival in the Planning Appeals Tribunal?
Mr. Ferrier?
Through the Chair, the assessment is that it complies with the scheme, so the only advice that staff could provide to Council is that this matter should be approved on that basis, and that it is unlikely to be able to refusal to be able to be supported in the tribunal. I can say nothing else really, because the staff have assessed it as complying with the scheme.
Thanks, Mr. Ferrier. I totally endorse the report. We as councillors are sitting in judgment, using the qualified professional staff to give us our recommendations. And if our staff and recommendations, qualified staff say, it meets the requirements, there's nothing you can do about it, we have, in my opinion, no alternative but to support the application. And let's be honest, people don't build units on blocks if they don't sell. There are people who want a small house on a small piece of land, and you can't force everybody to live on a large block. It doesn't suit everybody. So market trends and everything, and the way people live today, sets examples of what's required, and people don't build things that people don't want to buy. Otherwise, they lose money.
Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chatterton, seconded by Councillor Weeder, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received, and that the development application for multiple dwelling and change of use from single dwelling to multiple dwelling at 1 Katana Parade Snug for Emma Riley and Associates be approved, subject to the following conditions, and there are 7 conditions. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. So those in favour are Councillors Winter, Percy, Chatterton, Berry, Reet and Wass. And opposing the motion, we have Councillors Bastone and Fox. Motion is carried. We move on to page 169. And the open session of Council now resumes at 6:25. And the report of officers, the first one is Crown Land Lease, Blackmans Bay Foreshore.
Mayor, I move the matter be discussed.
Do I have a second that the matter be discussed, Councillor Berry? I'll put that moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Berry, that the matter be discussed. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. Councillor Chadden.
Mayor, I have some concerns, and I have a lot of questions that I believe need answering in this report. I don't believe answers my concerns or my questions that need answering. Unfortunately, we've had an incident at Blackmans Bay, which we hope never happens again there or anywhere else in the municipality, but unfortunately sometimes these things do happen, and we have every sympathy to those concerned. However, as this is a matter for coronial inquiry, and we don't currently have the lease on the land, the land's actually the state government's land, I believe in some correspondence that I received from some ratepayers, they mentioned to me that they had land from their house to the other side of the road because they had too high or low watermark. Now, I don't know whether this forms part of that or not, and it seems rather strange if we take it over. But I just think that whilst something needs to be done, why should we take it over at the moment? Because we haven't heard the outcome of the coronial inquiry. If there's work to be done on the site, it's the responsibility of the state government because they own the foreshore, if it's not on private land, which I have a question mark on. And if, and as a result of the inquiry, the coronial inquiry, if we then decide that we might take over the land, fair enough, but we don't lease all the Crown land on all our foreshore from Taroona to Gordon. We only take on pieces. For example, we have Conyngham Beach, but we don't have Little Conyngham Beach. We have Clark's Beach. So it's inconsistent. And I just don't believe, at this point in time, we should take on this piece of land as a lease, because if we do, we're then responsible for the structure that needs to be put in place to make it, inverted commas, safer, at our ratepayers' expense, where if it's Crown land, it's not put into a safe environment by the cost to our ratepayers directly. And I think we need to be careful before proceeding.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillor Berry?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I think Councillor Chadden said exactly what I was going to say, except probably he took a bit longer to do it, but I fully support the notion that something needs to be done about this bit of land, but I, like Councillor Chatterton, I think it would be unwise of us to take over this land before we have the report from the coroner. I mean, the coroner may recommend a fairly expensive cure for what is going on. So I think rather than jumping in, acknowledging the fact that this has to be dealt with, and I will not move this at the moment. We'll have a bit more debate, but I will be moving at some stage this debate that may have to be deferred pending the coroner's report.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Other councillors wish to speak? Councillor Fox?
I don't know how up-to-date the photo is on page 169, but I have questioned council a few years ago about the fact that the road extends over the actual blowhole structure, the hole that the water goes under, the cliff, and they use it for the turning circle for rubbish trucks and other heavy trucks. I've always been very concerned about that. I've raised it publicly as a question on notice, and somewhat ridiculed, I felt, by those in power for making those comments. But having studied geology, I think this area is very vulnerable and very fragile and subject to natural forces. And for council to have done that without actually owning the land or having a lease over the land, I think puts us in a very awkward position if something goes wrong. I do support the comments made by councillors Chatterton and Berry. I'm not sure what would be required from us, but the high watermark titles are further up the road to where we're asking to be taking this over, I think. Having lived on Tolone Road as a child, or Powell Road actually, round the corner, I'm well aware of the dangers of this cliff because it wasn't fenced when I was a little girl. I can still remember my mother's grip on my hands when we went past there. But I do think it's worthy of asking our staff for comment who have made this recommendation, and I'd appreciate it if we can have those comments.
Mr. Smee, would you like to comment?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, could I just get clarification on what exactly I'm being asked to comment on?
Councillor Fox?
The issues raised by councillors Chatterton and Berry in terms of the coronial inquiry and the timing of this decision.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor, as indicated in the report, it would be the intent that we commence this process once the findings of the coronial inquiry have been released. I can understand where councillors are coming from in relation to the timing. It was considered necessary to address this anomaly now that we know it exists, and as I indicated, in terms of the timing, the process to address that would commence once the coronial inquiry has been handed down. In relation to the comments about the titles to high watermark, I mean, Councillor Fox is correct on that. They relate to properties that are further to the north.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Further discussion, councillors? Councillor Reid.
I have similar concerns to those that have been raised by the first few speakers, and that is that I would be more comfortable if we deferred making a decision until such time as the coronial report has been handed down, and then look at it. I feel no need for us to rush into this if it is indeed state government it appears that a state government land, they may have responsibilities in relation to this, and we would be taking them on unnecessarily, even though I accept that we've been maintaining that area, but I just feel that we're a bit out of whack in terms of the process here, and I'd prefer if we deferred this matter.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Berry, you wish to
put your proposal? The recommendation be deferred pending receipt of the coronial report into the matter.
Thank you. I'm happy to second, but I'm wondering whether Councillor Berry would add another paragraph that we encourage the current owners, being the Tasmanian Government, to take action for safety in the meantime.
I don't have any problem with that. But I mean, I guess that they're probably going to say we're going to wait for the coroner's report as well.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so have you accepted that, Councillor Berry?
I'm quite happy for that to be added.
We'll just wait for Amanda to get it here. He said, mate, but would the word ensure be better?
May I, I'm just sort of having certain thoughts about adding that second bit. I mean, all they're going to say is going to wait for the coroner's report. I think keep it nice and simple, which would be until the coronial inquiry is concluded, full stop, etc.
I know we can't debate it. But I'm only going on that comment which I want to put in there, which I'm allowed to say.
Do I have a seconder for councillor?
Yeah, I seconded in putting that in, so... So I mean, Councillor Berry is saying he wants to take it out. So therefore I'm asked if I want to take it out. But the only concern I have if we do take it out, I don't want the public to see us as sitting on our hands and doing nothing.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Berry, would you like to speak to your motion, please?
I think we've had a reasonable.
Order, it's a deferral motion, there's no debate.
That's quite correct.
Yes, no, my apologies. So I have a motion moved by Councillor Berry, seconded by Councillor Fox, that the recommendation be deferred until the coronial inquiry is concluded. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
No.
We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour of the motion are... Councillors, first Bastone, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Reid and Wass, and opposing the motion, Councillor Winter. Motion is carried. The next item is on page 172, the Municipal Emergency Management Committee. And there is a report on, sorry, a recommendation on page 175. Thank you, Councillor Percy. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Percy, do you wish to speak to it?
Just the way we've had it set up before was unique to Tasmania, so other municipal emergency management committees weren't made up similar. Also, is from the comments of the people that were on that committee, it was evident that the majority of community representatives involved considered that the model did not work, so it needs to be changed. I think we put the motion through and set up the committees as requested, and we'll test it and see, and if there's any concerns further down the track, then we can review it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Fox?
I have concerns about item B. I'm happy for the item A to go through. I just feel that by having a community reference group, it's going to raise expectations for action, and it's going to pitch the professionals versus people from the community with the limited skills, and not informing the whole community on the basis that they only meeting twice a year, possibly three times a year, and I feel that there'll be isolated experts that we'll be encouraging in this situation, whereas I feel if we don't have this committee, we don't have the reference committee, then the whole community and the councillors will be much better informed by the process that will be run by the professionals. I'm not sure whether we're just repeating what we had before, which obviously wasn't working, and it was hard to get members, it was hard for it to be continuous, and I just feel we're just recreating it for the sake of having had it once. And I'm just a bit concerned that I just don't feel very comfortable with it as being something that nobody else is doing, so we're just repeating something that no one else has done and that obviously wasn't working, even though they say, well, it'll be a fluid membership and people can come and go, but I really don't know if that's paying the whole concept a service or if it's just paying the whole concept lip service.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. I guess the question you need to ask yourself is 9.2 and the conclusion where it does cover that, but like you said, you could take it either way. Further discussion, councillors? In that case, I should ask Councillor Percy to close the vote. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Chatterton, that Council endorses the restructure of the Kingborough Municipal Emergency Management Committee in accordance with the attached...
Seconded by Councillor Reid, Mayor.
Councillor Reid, was it? Yeah. Oh, my apologies. B, the Council endorses the establishment of a Kingborough Community Resilience Working Group in accordance with the attached terms of reference. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? No. We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour are Councillors Winter, Bastone, Percy, Chatterton, Berry, Wass and Reid. And opposing the motion, Councillor Fox. Motion is carried. We'll move on to page 180, Corporate Communication Strategy, and there is a recommendation on page 182. It is 6:40 p.m. and Councillor Chatterton has left the meeting. Sorry, the mover and seconder, Councillor Fox and Councillor Reid, wasn't it? Councillor Fox?
I think this is quite an interesting improvement on what we've had in the past, particularly the emphasis on social media. And I admire the way it's been laid out and look forward to seeing how it works. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Winter?
Yeah, this is, as Councillor Fox said, a significant improvement on what we've seen previously. I suspect that the nuts and bolts of this strategy are already being executed by the communications officers in the fact that we've seen such an improvement over the last 12 months or more in council's communications. It's been, I think it's been, from my point of view, it's been significantly better. 4.4 shows our new website, which will be an important engagement tool, and whilst I'm very much looking forward to seeing it come through, it's what we understand about it, what we've been told, is that it's again going to be a significant improvement. One of the questions that this reminded me about was during the last year's budget process, council engaged or outsourced some communications of its budget to I think Corporate Communications is the name of the company. I was just wondering whether that use of external communication resources has been thought about in terms of this, and whether we're looking to engage that particular or the private sector in that way again in the future.
Thank you, Councillor Winter. Ms. Wilcox or Ms. Hughes, whichever.
I'll answer that. Thanks very much, Mr. Mayor. Through you, Mr. Mayor, we do use corporate communications on an as-needs basis, and it is actually quite limited. Okay. So at the moment, for example, we have used that company for support in the rates brochure and trying to, you know, sort of really revamp that, and their ideas are invaluable for that. And we've recently used them to assist us with some communication around the budget that appeared recently in the Kingborough Chronicle and online as well. So if there is a specific issue or a major issue that we think we need some extra support with, but generally in the day-to-day operations, Ms. Wilcox does an excellent job on that, and we don't need to engage people beyond that resource that we have.
Yeah, I asked the question because I did note we understood that their involvement in last year's budget communications, and I noted again I thought an improvement, a pretty well put together communication strategy. In fact, it didn't align with my point of view, but I thought it was a very well argued point that you were making, so well done on that. So look, I totally endorse the report and the strategy going forward. I think again it's another step up as part of what we're doing in communications.
Thank you, Councillor Winter, and for the record, Councillor Chatterton returned to the meeting at 6:43. Further discussion, councillors? If not, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Reid, that the Corporate Communication Strategy 2017 and the Communications Policy 1.3 be adopted. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? It's carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 202, Policy 4.4, Community Grants, and there's a recommendation on page 204. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Fox.
I think it's an excellent idea to make this money go to larger numbers of groups and reduce the actual amount that they get. I'm not sure, though, from reading this document twice, whether a group can ask for two bites of the one cherry. If they've got one project and the project exceeds the amount that we're offering, can they apply for part funding in the first round and then another part funding for the same project in the second round? Is that a possibility?
Mr. Ferrier.
I think Daniel might be able to help me a little bit on this. It's not currently within his area, but I'd say no. Basically, it's they apply for the funding for a project, and then we don't look particularly favourably if that same group continues to apply for grants, whether it be the second round or even the following year. So, generally speaking, I'd say no.
Thank you. Councillor Percy.
I just think with this particular one, I certainly agree with number A, point A, but point B I think is really a bit premature prior to budget session. I agree the change in the upper limit to 3K could be done, but the 50K should be considered as part of the budget considerations. The reason is I don't necessarily want to get a point where budget considerations are being put through individually prior to the budget discussions. I notice that if it doesn't state in the policy itself that there's a $50,000 per annum, so it's not really required for the policy. So I'd like to know somebody's thoughts on whether we could remove B or not and keep A.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. And obviously when we set the budget, if we were to allocate $40,000, it would be $40,000. Likewise, if we set it at 60, it would be at 60. Or if we set it at 50, it would be 50. If that helps. I see if that
I just
helps.
Wonder why we're putting an amount in there when,
all right,
to me it doesn't really need it.
Well, staff have I'll hand over to Mr. Ferrier.
Through the Chair, this is simply an opportunity to explain the situation to you. I think we don't necessarily get the opportunity to report to Council for a specific decision on matters like this necessarily, and it just becomes a 50 or a 40 or a 60 or something in the budget. But this is an opportunity to actually change the policy and be able to include a figure in the budget, which Council has agreed to. And as the Mayor has said, you may change that as part of the budget session, but at least this is an opportunity for us to explain the background to it and include the policy changes as well.
Comfortable? Councillor Bastard.
I find this in the discussion somewhat not truthful, perhaps. That's not quite the right word. But in 4.3, an upper limit of 3,000 per grant would allow a minimum of 8 fully funded projects in each 25,000 funding round, as compared with only 6 fully funded projects under the current model of 5,000 per grant from a 30,000 funding round. Then, as you read down at 4.5, the average granted amount over the past 3 years has been 2,662, indicating 3,000 is sufficient as the upper limit for each grant. If that's all we're giving, we might as well leave the 5,000 just in case there is a time when someone needs more. If we're not giving it out, it doesn't matter. But, you know, we're not giving only 6 fully funded projects under the current model. Are we?
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the Chair, no, not at all. I mean, information provided in 4.3 is theoretical. It's obviously, you know, the maths works. What 4.5 is saying, in reality, what happens is that when you look at all the applications which are lodged, the average application works out at $2,662. Hence, $3,000 is still a reasonable amount, but we do get a number that are at the 5,000, which you would recall. I mean, there's always a couple that are at that 5,000 mark. Mm-hmm. What we're saying here is that what we'd be doing is only providing 3,000, and people would have to adjust their projects accordingly. But that would then enable more people to get grants rather than the current situation where we tend to give people 5,000 because that's what they need for that project. Other probably worthy grantees miss out.
How many 5,000 grants have we given out in the last 3 years? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head how many $5,000 grants, but roughly speaking, in each, when we were funding 30,000 in the funding round, I recall each time we've assessed it that there's usually, you know, there's usually 3 or 4 that are 5,000. Then there's a whole range below that.
And yet they all only average out at 2,600.
And I think the last round, there were, I think there might have been 5 that sought and received $5,000. I could be wrong on that, but it was something like that, which really, if you like, confirms the report, the discussion points in the report. We'll move on. Councillor Chadden.
Look, I agree on the cut. I did speak quite strongly last time on one of the grants at 5,000 I wasn't agreed with, which was to Crime Stoppers. I don't believe that they at that time, and I still believe they shouldn't have got the five, that there was a lot of other things in the municipality that needed money. And I think that by taking it down to three, at least we're going to share the money around more. And I mean, I can give examples of two or three that have been approved for $1,000 because that's all they needed. An art project for $1,000 for easels, $1,000 for a gardening group to put an enclosure over their garden. There are just two that come to mind which are only $1,000. So we do get a list. The committee go through and do a list, and it's quite an extensive list. But I think if people realise, and the community groups realise that 3,000 is the maximum, and I think those that get the grants are very appreciative of them, and if we can share it around more and there's more things are done, it'll be fantastic.
And the next program tonight will be further discussion, councillors, or will I ask Councillor Fox to close debate? Councillor Fox.
I think it's been a good debate. It's good to get this information out, but I guess we'll make the final decision at budget time, and I think it's better to spread the money amongst more people rather than, and to keep expectations realistic. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Reap, that A, Council approves the updated policy 4.4 community grants policy as attached to this report, reflecting a new upper limit of $3,000 per grant allocation. B, Council approves a reduction in overall financial commitment to the community grants program from $60,000 to $50,000 per annum for financial year 2017-18. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Councillors in favour, if you would raise your hand. We have Councillors Winter, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Reed and Moss. And opposing the motion, Councillor Bastone, motion is carried. We'll move on to page 213, information reports. We have three reports, and if I have a mover and seconder, we'll work our way through those. I have a mover in Councillor Chatterton, and I have a seconder in Councillor Percy. The first item is the Tingborough Waste Services bi-monthly report, starting at page 214, going through to, I think, about 225. Councillor Chatterton.
Look, Mayor, I'm pleased to see that when we look at the page 214 and we look at the surplus and deficits for 16-17, we've now 4 months in a row of seeing some nice surpluses. In fact, the biggest surplus I think we've seen of 34,117, which is fantastic. And when one looks further through the report and one looks at the balance sheets for, I think, December and January there, we're seeing an improved situation on the balance sheet. The balance sheet of 85,000 negative in round figures in December has improved to just over 50,000 negative in January. So that's improving as well. So it's if this trend can continue, which we hope it can, you know, even if we can continue to get at least 20,000 profit a month for the next 5 months, we could see a balance sheet with a positive figure at the end of the financial year, which would be fantastic. But obviously, things that are being done at site are having impacts, and irrespective of whether we've increased fees or whatever we've done, and the work that the committee are doing and advising the staff, and the staff are doing whatever they're doing, the results are there, and you can't knock back the results. I mean, that is a turnaround for the month of January from the same period last year of close on $40,000, which I think is fantastic, and they should be congratulated on the work that they're doing.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillor Percy.
Yes, I agree with everything you said there, Councillor Chadden. It certainly is good to see the balance sheet coming back to neutral. Probably the only question I would have to the Acting General Manager is, as a representative for KWS, trade debtors, who are these and what are the trading terms, and are these debtors trading within those terms? It seems $103,889, it seems like a fair amount compared to the non-cash income that's coming through there every month. So perhaps if he's not quite sure, he could come back to us on that one.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Mr. Ferrier.
Yeah, through the Chair, I'll have to go back to the detailed information on that. I'll circulate that to councillors out of session.
Councillor Weeder.
Thanks, Mayor. My question was about in the minutes on page 218.6 talks about difficulty in engagement from the reuse shop hindering the promotion, and obviously promotion often leads into performance. Can we get an expanded understanding of what the issue is there?
Mr. Ferrier?
Through the Chair, I think it's just an honest reflection of what the situation is. I think with the staff that are employed there, they're not necessarily employed for their customer service skills necessarily. It's not that they're bad customer service, but that's not what they've been employed there for from day one. Mm-hmm. So sometimes some of that training is a little difficult to achieve the results we'd like. So I think that's just an honest statement of that.
Yeah.
I think the staff work hard in doing their waste management job, but sometimes they don't necessarily take their minds off that and start to interact with the public in the best way possible. And it's something that the manager at KWS is working on very, very hard.
Okay. I have to say, my experience there has been pretty good. They're always well served. The other point I just wanted to make a little bit lower than that was on it mentions the KWS budget will be prepared within the next 6 months. One of my previous criticisms of KWS had been that we received a budget update from them after we'd already set our budget, and we then found out from them that they were going to make a significant loss after we'd already set the gate fees and stuff like that, which to me seemed an unusual way to do things. Is the intention here that councillors are going to see the proposed KWS budget before we set our own Kingborough Council budget?
Mr. Ferrier, through the Chair, that's the intention. We'd like to develop a draft budget and then do a presentation to Council before Council sets its budget, obviously. It's just a matter now of finding a window where we've got a suitable time to have that workshop. The board of KWS would also like to talk to the consultants who are preparing the waste strategy.
Yeah.
They haven't had that opportunity yet. So they'd like to sort of understand where the consultants are going in relation to KWS, because that may well influence how the budget is framed. So the timetable now is really for the board to talk to the consultants, the board to develop its budget, and then the board to provide a presentation to the council prior to the council doing its budget.
Sure. And I think it was about 12 months ago we saw a proposal to get the balance sheet back into positive territory, and councillors rejected that proposal. Can I ask a bit more about what the strategy going forward from KWS and its management board and management is to get that balance sheet back into positive territory? Is it about, as Councillor Chatterton mentioned, just increasing the surfaces through the gate, or are they still looking to have conversations about equity transfers or forgiving some of that loan amount?
Mr. Ferrier?
Through the Chair, it's probably the latter. It's probably one of trading our way back into the positive, mm-hmm. rather than necessarily coming back to Council and asking for a cash advance. What KWS wanted originally, when we presented to Council some time ago, was that the loan that Council provided to KWS be handed over to KWS as a sort of a start-up fund, but that wasn't agreed to. I think KWS's approach now is really just to trade its way back into the black.
Yep.
through the way that we're going at the moment, and it is looking quite positive, so we'll be pursuing that strategy.
Yeah, and that'd be a really good thing to have that discussion with the board about that, the actual strategic direction, and if it is to trade out, I mean, obviously that's preferable to Council, it's much better for us financially, so looking forward to having that discussion.
Thank you, Councillor, and that's where the Chairman, Mr. Shelley, has always said that if the board is going to have ways in which the KWS can be, in a positive way, then they need to have some input, and that's what he's been pushing for some time. And of course, in the past, council has set the fees, the gate fees, without any reference to KWS, so that's coming again.
That reminds me of another question.
Yes, by all means.
In terms of this relationship, again, between KWS and council, because council is almost the price regulator here, well, it is the price regulator in that it sets the fees, is there a way we can set up a formal process where, for example, we review those gate fees every year in consultation with KWS? So, for example, TAS Water would go to the economic regulator and say, right, we would like to set our price here because it's a monopoly. We would like to set our price at this point, and here's our rationale for it. So you as the regulator, can you either accept or not? Is that a process that's been looked into in the past, or is that a process we could look into going forward?
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the chair, it's an analogy which I guess is the same as KWS or officers of council coming to council with a recommendation in relation to fees, and that happened at the end of towards the end of last year, and council as the economic regulator, you might say, or the one that sets the fees, assessed the recommendation and the proposals put forward by KWS to increase the fees. I guess KWS is the operator of the site and is able to assess what fees are required to properly provide a user pays regime on that site, and we come back to council and hopefully council would listen to those recommendations and make decisions accordingly. That would be also part of the process going into the next budget. As part of the budget, council will be setting the fees for everything that council does, and KWS will be part of that as well.
Yeah, I guess you mentioned there that the process that's previously happened is council officers actually coming to council with a report about changing fees. From my point of view, in really making sure that it's very clear the differentiation between KWS as its own single entity that's very separate to council. From my point of view, I would like to see KWS and its chairman, write to with a submission to council, to this council, and say gate fees are at $12. We would like to move to whatever point in that same model as TAS Networks or TAS Water or whatever does with a regulatory authority. Because at the end of the day, that's actually council's main role here at the moment appears to be not only owning the assets but also regulating the price on behalf of council, but also taking very clear and careful note of what ratepayers are saying. Well, sorry, spoken a bit.
That's okay, and I understand that's Mr. Shelley's wish to do just that. Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. I would, other than other questions that have been asked, I'd like to ask what the initiatives were that the chairman congratulated the manager KWS on with his efforts to greatly improve the performance of KWS. I'm just wondering what those initiatives were, if we know.
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the chair, I can't be specific on that. I recall that it was just a general congratulations for the fact that the current manager has been able to achieve a number of, I guess, efficiencies within the site, which has saved costs, and I guess at the same time, we've been able to receive more waste and been able to process that in a manner which has been probably more efficient than it might have been in the past. So it was very much just a general congratulations for the good financial returns.
Councillor Reid.
Thank you. On page 219, 7.3 of the minutes, it indicates that next year they've decided that there will only be one weekend a year of green waste program on Bruny Island, and I just wonder whether there had been any consultation with Bruny residents or in relation to when that might be, whether it's been raised at BIAC or anything like that, just so that they don't end up hearing about it at the last minute.
Thank you. Mr. Ferrier.
7.3. Yep. Through the chair, yes, it was during the year there were two free green waste weekends held on Bruny Island, and in January only 100 cubic metres was received, so it was very poor, it was very, very low take-up. The conclusion was that
North Broomey residents may have participated, but South Broomey residents probably didn't, with that small figure. So it was felt that it's probably not something which is particularly necessary on Broomey Island compared to the very large amounts which were received at Beretta for the free Green Waste weekends. So, but in regard to your question in regard to community consultation, that hasn't been done, and I'll take it on notice the fact that we will communicate with the Broomey community and let them know that that's the proposal.
Thank you. Councillor Bestard.
I just want to make comment on the communication and consultation. The introduction of a fee increase a few months ago has not caused too many problems with customers. I've certainly had my ear bent from people who don't get garbage collection, as I say every time it comes up, but people are unhappy paying $11 a time for their household waste to be disposed of.
Thank you, Councillor Bestone. We'll move on to the next report, and that's the minute resolution spreadsheet. Sorry, I'm missing one, aren't I? The Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee, which starts at 2:26 and goes through to about 2:32. That's noted. Councillor Fox?
It doesn't seem to be any recommendation coming out of the report, but the pictures tell 1,000 words in terms of their requirements for improvements around that roundabout near KFC, getting some off-road tracks for bikes and improving that intersection where you're competing with cars.
So that has always been an issue, hasn't it?
It has.
Not just for the cycling community, but for all, I think.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to the next one, which is the minute resolution spreadsheet, which starts at 233, runs through to 237. All done. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Percy, that the following information reports be noted. One, the Kingborough Waste Services. Two, minutes of the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee. And three, the minute resolution spreadsheet. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 238, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session, moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Reid, that in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, following items to be dealt with in closed session, applications for leave of absence and information reports, minute resolution. Councillors, those in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. Closed session. Councillor Percy has moved, seconded by Councillor Weeder, that in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the Council move into closed session. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, that is carried unanimously. In accordance with the Kingborough Council Meetings Audio Recording Guidelines Policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. The open session of Council adjourned at 7:10 p.m.